This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, every week we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today we're going to talk to Dr. Jamie Metzl about something that, of course, has gripped the worldwide agenda, and that is the coronavirus. But today we're going to talk about biotechnology and its impact on the coronavirus. What have we learned? Has biotechnology given us an edge against this great killer? You know, plagues are mentioned in the Bible. Humanity has witnessed waves upon waves of epidemics and plagues in the past. Many historians think even that the fall of the Roman Empire can in fact be indirectly traced to some savage epidemics that ravaged Europe. So the question is, what about biotechnology? Has that given us an edge on the fight, this eternal fight against pandemics and disease? With us today, once again, is Jamie Metzl, author of an exciting new book now available in paperback form. And the book is called, once again, Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering and the Future of Humanity. We should also point out that Jamie serves on the World Health Organization's Advisory Committee on the Human Genome Project. He's worked with the U.S. State Department, the National Security Council. He even ran for Congress from Missouri. And believe it or not, he has time to write science fiction novels as well. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest bestseller is about the space program, about our destiny in outer space. And the book is called The Future of Humanity, about terraforming Mars, building starships, and one day exploring the universe. But today we're going to talk about something that the whole world is talking about, and that is the coronavirus pandemic. You know, the Bible mentions pestilence, disease, and plagues, but every generation rises to the challenge and learns something. For example, if you take a look at the Great Generation, take a look at the Great Depression, World War II, that helped to shape the post-war generation, a generation of sacrifice, a generation that was frugal, a generation that was serious. Then, of course, we had the anti-war generation, and more recently, the 9/11 generation, a generation that is much more in tune with the question of global terrorism. And the question is, what about the current coronavirus pandemic? Will that also change this generation as well? In the same way that World War II and the Great Depression, in the same way that 9/11 changed our whole perception of society. Once again, we have with us today Dr. Jamie Metzl. The book is called Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering and the Future of Humanity, now in paperback form. Jamie, you've had quite a career as a futurist, also an expert in biotechnology and public policy, but when you were a youth, when you were a kid, when most kids dream about being maybe a fireman or an astronaut, what steered you in the direction of biotechnology, public policy, and futurism? What steered you in that direction?
So I've always been public-minded, and it started from being the son of a refugee. My father and grandparents came to this country as refugees fleeing Nazism after the war. And so I saw what happens when you have political breakdowns. So that really got me interested in public policy and government. And then when I was a freshman at Brown University, I met a classmate of mine who had been a survivor of the Cambodian genocide. And I couldn't believe it that this horrible thing had happened in my lifetime and nobody I know knew anything about it. And then I went that summer, I quit my job in Kansas City and went and worked in a refugee camp and was able to do a lot. But I realized that if we wanted to help people, we had to fix the problems that were upstream of whatever happens downstream. And then just to make this quick, then I was more than 20 years ago, I was working on the National Security Council trying to address those kinds of problems. And I worked for, someone now, a very close friend, Richard Clark, who was the person who essentially predicted 9/11. And Dick always used to say that you have to see around corners like you do, Michio. And I, 23 years ago, kept seeing that the genetics and biotech revolutions were going to change everything. And I knew I needed to know everything that I could. And that started me on a journey that kept going. And now I have the honor and privilege to be doing things like advising the World Health Organization, like speaking to the top scientists at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, and being part in the tradition that you really exemplify, Michio, better than anybody else, of being a translator of big science to broad public audiences. I think everybody gets now that this is really, really important for all of us.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the impact of biotechnology on the current coronavirus pandemic. If you look at the Bible and you look at ancient books written about pandemics that killed 50%, over 50% of the entire population of Europe, you realize that there was a lot of magic and hocus pocus and all sorts of nonsense about the origin of these pandemics. But today, we have the Human Genome Project. We have biotechnology. How have these discoveries at the genetic level changed the way we attack these pandemics?
Yeah, it's a really essential question because we know that the virus is moving at the speed of globalization. If we didn't have so many humans, if we weren't moving around so much, a virus like this might just stay where it started. Even the Black Plague was connected to trade routes, and that's even more so today. But if the virus is moving at the speed of globalization, so is our response. So within 2 weeks of the virus being identifying there was a virus, its full genome was sequenced and posted online. And that allowed scientists around the world to begin understanding it, to begin synthesizing it, so they could start developing responses even before the actual virus had been distributed, either through scientists or just through natural spread. It sped up the process of thinking about how treatments may work, developing vaccines. And so all of these tools that we have developed that are almost magical tools from the perspective of our ancestors, that's what we're bringing to the fight. And that's what gives us at least a chance of having treatments, of tracking the genetic mutations of this virus as it spreads, and having the possibility of developing a vaccine. I mean, vaccines themselves are one of the great innovations in all of human history, but to have a vaccine for a virus that is this complex and this difficult within, if we can do it, between 1 and 2 years, I mean, that's almost in the realm of magic.
Okay, now, we can also, of course, beat our chest about all the great victories of biotechnology, but the question is, with all this information, how come we missed the boat? I mean, how come so many policymakers, people at the highest levels of government, poo-pooed this whole thing until the cat was out of the bag, until it already spread into the population? Well, we'll talk about that after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call and you can be on 100 radio stations across the United States. The number to call is 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Mortgage rates have dropped 25%, the lowest mortgage rates in years. So maybe you should drop everything and call Zoom Refi. Refinance your home now and slash your mortgage payments. Take cash out and save maybe hundreds of dollars every month. Zoom Refi mortgage rates are super low. Zoom Refi closing costs are super low. And Zoom, we approve you right over the phone, even for no income check loans. Big drop in mortgage rates. Big opportunity for you to save money. Call Zoom Refi today. 888-291-9729. 888-291-9729. Save on mortgage payments. Save on closing costs. Call Zoom Refi. 888-291-9729. Advertising by marketing entity Zoom Refi. Zoom Refi is not a bank or financial company. Calls and other inquiries may be forwarded to third-party lenders who are solely responsible for reviewing, approving, and servicing any loan. Zoom Refi is not affiliated with any state or federal agency and does not provide mortgage advice or help. No income check loans are for investment properties only, and income must be sufficient to service debt.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we're talking to Jamie Messel, author of an exciting new book now in paperback form called Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering and the Future of Humanity. We should point out that he serves on the World Health Organization's Advisory Committee on the Human Genome Project. He's also worked with the U.S. State Department and the U.S. National Security Council, and he even ran for Congress from Missouri. And he finds time in his busy schedule to write science fiction in addition to public policy. Well, today we're talking about the science and the geopolitics behind the coronavirus. And we have all this information about biotechnology that we didn't have throughout history, that humanity thought it was voodoo and magic and all sorts of crazy things that were behind these pestilences and plagues that would kill up to 50% of the population, for example, of Europe, and in fact up to 90% of the population of Native Americans in the New World. But with all this knowledge, we missed the boat. I mean, why was it that so many policymakers and government officials, armed with all this knowledge, underplayed the importance of this virus? Was it because of overconfidence? Was it because of lack of scientific knowledge at the highest level? Or was it an honest mistake? What are your thoughts?
So, yeah, no, it's a great question. I have a lot of thoughts about it. Let me just take it piece by piece. So when this virus first manifests itself in Wuhan, China, in December of 2019, of last year, the first monumental failure was of the Chinese government. And so the Chinese government, China had had their experience of SARS. They knew that this stuff was serious. And they had set up a whole system to respond, and the system that they set up failed entirely. And it failed for political reasons. And that was that the authorities in Wuhan, in Hubei province, they tried to suppress this story. And it's really, really important. And we still don't know where this virus comes from. One theory is that it comes from some natural jump. But it could just as easily, in my view, come from an accidental leak from the Chinese level 4 virology biosecurity lab. They only have one in the country. It happens to be in Wuhan, not far from the market that is claimed to be the epicenter. So could it be there was an accidental leak, that they were working with very good intentions on developing a vaccine, and there was a security breach, and the local authorities were trying to squash that story? I mean, that would explain why they so rapidly disinfected the market without testing the people or the animals, why they didn't let the World Health Organization experts in for 42 years. So that was a major mess up, a political mess up by China, even though after that first month or so, then China kicked into gear and took things very seriously and in some ways built a model that the rest of us can partly emulate. But we wouldn't be in this situation had there that not been a major, major, major catastrophe in China. We also wouldn't be in this situation if after 1948, when the countries of the world came together to establish the World Health Organization, we had collectively built a resourced, empowered World Health Organization with the mandate to have a global surveillance system and an emergency team that immediately go to where there's an outbreak and work with local officials to stop it. So the World Health Organization wasn't able to get in, both because China didn't let them in and because we as a global community, we just decided we don't want to give the World Health Organization that power. We could have. And then here in the United States, we had intelligence services that were providing all the intelligence that the Trump administration would have needed to sound the alarm, and they didn't. And part of that is just it was inconvenient, and the response would have taken a lot of resources, and it's human nature that we think of these abstract threats as abstract, but the things in front of us are very real. You write about this in your book, Michio. There are all of these big challenges, even big existential threats, not just pandemics, weapons of mass destruction, the destruction of ecosystems, all of them, and yet we go on with our lives. We could be having exactly this same conversation. Imagine that a nuclear bomb had detonated in Washington, London, nuclear bombs had detonated in Washington, London, and Beijing on the same day. We'd be having this exact same conversation. We knew about the threat. We knew there were nuclear weapons. We had all of those years. Why didn't we do enough? And I think that's the challenge of this moment, and maybe we can talk about that later, is how do we balance the needs of the present and the big picture needs, not just of the future, but of our survival as a species?
Okay. Also, you've written an article for The Hill magazine talking about high technology and the virus, specifically talking about telemedicine and artificial intelligence. So what high-tech devices do you think could better prepare us for this new era of testing for the virus now that we think we are beginning to turn the corner on this virus? What kinds of high-tech devices and policy changes do you envision?
So one thing is, we could have surveillance systems that are much better than what we have, and we could distribute those surveillance systems. And everybody, lots of people have smartphones, and these are amazing, almost supercomputers, much better than what past generations had to send people to the moon. But you could imagine turning everybody's smartphone into a sensor, or having wearables that people would have on their bodies, like a little smartwatch, but that together could create a kind of early warning system. In the article that you mentioned, Michio, I wrote about how AI doctors can help protect human ones. Right now, if somebody has an ailment or some kind of symptom, what do? You go and see your doctor. But we have more and more patients, and a lot of them are in really tough shape because of COVID. And we don't have enough doctors and all sorts of resources to meet this need, including because a lot of our doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals are being infected. So I think what we should really look carefully at doing is having the first point of contact with the healthcare system not be a human, but to be an AI system where everybody has a home health kit of a blood pressure cuff and a thermometer and a scale and a few other relatively simple and inexpensive things. And when you have a first symptom, you put in all of your readings. You have a questionnaire that narrows with each answer. And then the AI algorithm either gives you recommendations for what you can do at home, which maybe it's just rest and drink fluids. And then if that happens, it sets up a text message exchange to make sure that you don't get worse. Or it refers you to a telemedicine generalist. And so then if you need to have a consultation, it'll be with a telemedicine generalist. And then that person will either treat you or they will refer you to a specialist in whatever you may need. And that specialist will then have a virtual telemedicine consultation. And that person could call in if you wanted to have tests done. Maybe some of them, you could have something mailed to you. Maybe you could go to a testing center. And then only then, if you needed, and this could all happen very quickly, if you needed specialist care, then you could make that appointment. That would be a much more efficient way to allocate our very, very scarce healthcare resources.
Okay, now if you had the ear of the president, what kinds of recommendations would you make? Some people think that we're leaving the phase of simply staying at home and entering the phase of universal testing, so we have up to the minute data as to whether or not we can stop super spreaders and stop people from spreading the disease. But if you had the ear of the president, what recommendations would you make?
So first, we need to have universal testing for who is a carrier. And that's one of the big catastrophes of this crisis here in the United States and why so many more people, even percentage-wise, are dying here than in the countries that did a much better early job with testing, like Taiwan, Korea, and Singapore. So we need to have that universal testing. We need to have antibody testing, and we don't know enough yet about how the antibodies work and what protection they offer. But pretty soon we'll need to know who's protected. And after the break,
okay, Jim,
I'll tell you more.
We have to take another short commercial break. But once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Give us a call, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Jim.
We need to be pulling back at all.
The United States is now reporting more than 18,000 deaths from coronavirus across the country, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. Globally, over 100,000 people have died and more than 1.6 million have been sickened by COVID-19, the disease caused by the virus. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you are accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Jamie Metzl, and he's a futurist specializing in biotechnology, healthcare, geopolitics, author of a new book now in paperback form, Hacking Darwin: Genetic Engineering and the Future of Humanity. Well, we started off talking about the coronavirus. However, let's now shift gears a bit and talk about the substance of his new book, now in paperback form, Hacking Darwin. One of the promises of genetic engineering is to be able to eliminate genetic diseases, diseases that have been with us since biblical times. Is it possible, for example, that we can eliminate cystic fibrosis for Northern Europeans, sickle cell anemia for African Americans, Tay-Sachs for Jewish people? Is it possible that one day we can cure defects in our genome with genetic engineering? What are your thoughts about progress in this direction?
So it's a really important question, and I write about it extensively in my book. And the answer to that question is yes, but that we don't need to use our most aggressive tools in every instance. In your intro, you mentioned Tay-Sachs. So Tay-Sachs is a disease. It affects a lot of different kinds of people, but Ashkenazi Jews, like me, have increased risk of Tay-Sachs for historical reasons. The Jewish community, however, has radically reduced the occurrence of Tay-Sachs just through testing. In the Orthodox community, that it translates into matchmaking, but for everybody else, just providing people with this information allows them to take steps that has all but eliminated the threat of Tay-Sachs. But there are some single gene mutation disorders. You mentioned cystic fibrosis. Where it's a lot harder to do. And I absolutely think that we are going, in addition to using all of the tools of the genetics revolution to improve our precision health care, we are then going to transition away from conception through sex to conception through science. And we'll have more of us will have kids using in vitro fertilization and embryo selection. And in selecting from among 10 or 15 embryos, we'll be able to not select the one the two that may be carriers of some deadly genetic disorder. And I think that will be a great thing to do. But then there'll be some instances where maybe there'll only be one pre-implanted embryo and it is carrying a dominant single gene mutation disease. And for that, we can, and I think we will, edit it, and we will transform an embryo, and therefore a baby, who would have been the same person, other than this deadly mutation that would have killed them, into a baby that doesn't have it. And I know this stuff is scary for a lot of people, but if we can do that, and we can do it safely, I think that's great.
Now, you mentioned sex. Brave New World was this prophetic science fiction novel written by Aldous Huxley, talking about a brave new world where everyone was born in baby factories, that sex was strictly for pleasure as a consequence, and it horrified the generation that read that book. But do you foresee a time when the brave new world may be passé, that we just accept test tube babies, and in fact, maybe our best friend, maybe our wife or husband, maybe us, maybe we are products of this test tube technology. Well, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to talk about the promise and perils of biotechnology and hacking Darwin. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The number is 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Some people think that the biotech revolution to the 21st century is like the nuclear revolution of the 20th century, which gave us the atomic bomb and nuclear reactors, that the dominant technology of this century could be biotechnology, not just to cure disease, but to enhance humans as well. Well, we talked about the impact of biotechnology on the coronavirus with Jamie Metzl, author of a new book now in paperback form, Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering and the Future of Humanity. So now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the promise and perils of biotechnology. Many years ago, Aldous Huxley scandalized British society by writing a book called Brave New World, where he talked about a world where sex was pretty much an academic activity for the elite and for everyone interested in fun, but making babies was done in baby factories. And there was even a social hierarchy. Some embryos were denied oxygen and made deliberately mentally retarded so they would become the janitors and the garbage men of the future. Well, what are your thoughts about this biotechnology, test tube babies? Can it go too far? What are your thoughts?
Well, absolutely, this technology, in vitro fertilization and embryo screening and genome editing of pre-implanted embryos, it can go too far, and we need to be extremely careful to prevent that. But just because we can imagine some terrible dystopian outcome doesn't mean that we shouldn't be open-minded about carefully applying technologies in ways that can help us. Before the last break, I talked about how we can use these technologies to transform a kid who was going to die of a terrible genetic disorder into the exact same kid who's just not going to die of that disorder and live a 100-year, hopefully, life and have a family and make art and do all of these things. So nobody wants to live in the Brave New World. And that's why conversations like this are so important, that we need to make sure that our most cherished values guide the application of our most powerful technologies. Having said that, I do believe that as people start to feel that it is safer to have children through IVF and embryo screening and possibly at some point genome editing, people will do it because about 3% of all children are born with some kind of harmful genetic abnormality. Some percentage of those lead to very painful early deaths, and nobody wants that for their kids. And if we have technologies that can help prevent that, I think people are going to want them. And if we see it's safer to have kids in whatever way, people will do it, just as we know that vaccinating your kids is not natural in the sense our ancestors didn't do it. But we do it. We bring that science into our bodies because we individually and collectively have come to the conclusion that we're better off by doing so.
Now, some people think that these genetic diseases are like a curse on their family tree. Look at Woody Guthrie, author of the famous song, "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land." But his family was afflicted with Huntington's disease, a horrible disease which causes people to flail about almost like a devil or a witch. In fact, some historians believe that the Salem witch trials revolved around one woman who had Huntington's disease and flailed around, so people thought that she was a witch of some sort. So to eliminate these horrible, horrible genetic diseases would be a great, great victory. But some people think that enhancement of our genome to make us stronger and better looking may have some side effects. For example, at Princeton, they found the Mighty Mouse gene, which makes mice extremely bulked up and muscular. The counterpart was found in humans. It's now called the Schwarzenegger gene. And athletes, professional athletes, are dying to get a hold of it. And the question is, would you pay to see your favorite sports team knowing that the winner is going to be the team that is better genetically enhanced? I mean, would that ruin professional sports knowing that athletes can simply genomically enhance themselves and so they win not because of hard work, but because they took a pill to make them better enhanced? Well, let's take a short commercial break and continue with our discussion of Hacking Darwin. Once again, our special guest is Jamie Messel. The book is now in paperback form, Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering and the Future of Humanity. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. So give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call.
Recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112.
800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Jamie Messel, author of an exciting new book. It's called Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering in the Future of Humanity, now in paperback form. And so we've been talking about the coronavirus and how biotechnology has revolutionized our understanding and the way to attack that virus. But now we're talking about the substance of the book itself. Now, there are at least 5,000 known genetic diseases. Genetic diseases that are like a curse on royal families, for example. Many people think that, for example, King George, the same King George that taxed the 13 colonies 200 years ago, suffered from a genetic disease which caused madness. And that's why the United States of America was formed as a rebellion against the lunatic ideas being proposed by King George, who was afflicted with a genetic disease. But some people think maybe it can go too far. What happens if a smart gene is discovered that may make your child smart but has side effects? There would be a black market. A black market in this smart gene, as every parent desperately tries to make their children smarter, even if it has side effects. And we've never been able to control the heroin market. What happens if there's a market in illegal genes? Genes that are banned because they have side effects, but apparently can make you smarter. So, what are your thoughts about the promise and perils of this enormously powerful technology?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's such an important question because we have that market now, the market for differential outcomes for your kids. Wealthy parents the world over, their kids have one set of opportunities. And it's not just that the most disadvantaged kids don't have the opportunities. If you're born, lots of kids who are born in war zones like Central African Republic are born from malnourished mothers. So their brains just cannot work, function as well as everybody else's. We allow such different outcomes of whether it's maternal nutrition or health care. And so for sure, we don't want to live in either a world where different kids at birth have different life possibilities, and that's the world that we live in now. So if we're worried about a dangerous, unequal future, we should try to fix the problems now. And we don't want to live in a world where the wealthiest can become massively genetically different from everybody else. But I think that we may want to live in a world where parents can do what they can within the confines established collectively by society to help make sure that their kids have the greatest chance of health, of living a long and healthy and robust life. And it's going to be very, very difficult. People imagine that we're going to generate our future kids like going to the Build-A-Bear showroom at the mall. You know, biology is very complex, and there will be some single genes like these single gene mutation disorders that you just mentioned that will have an outside effect, but a lot of this is going to be more complex. So I think that the biggest driver is going to be an embryo selection, and that's why these new concepts like polygenic scoring, which means you take thousands of genes and then you use computer modeling to try to predict what those outcomes will mean, and I think we're going to know that there's a range of possibilities for people, and whether it's IQ or personality style, and we humans are a mix of nature and nurture, but we're going to know a lot more about what goes into creating a range of possibility for people, and we will make different kinds of decisions based on that knowledge.
Now, some people think that genetic engineering may give us the fountain of youth. If you take a look at a car, for example, and ask yourself, where does aging take place in a car? Obviously, the answer is the engine. That's where you have moving parts and combustion. Well, where is the engine of a cell? The mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell. And sure enough, that's where you have breakdowns. That's where you have mutations. That's where you have errors building up in the mitochondria. So bingo, we more or less can concentrate on fixing the damaged genes of the mitochondria of the cell and perhaps extend the human lifespan. So what are your thoughts? Is it possible that maybe biotechnology will give us the fountain of youth?
So I have a long chapter on that in the book, and I'll tell this because I know you have so many listeners. If you read the book, you'll get the secret, and you'll probably live to be 123. The oldest woman who ever lived was 122. But what I will say is that aging, there's using your car analogy, there are two things. One is every system has ages in some ways at its own rate. So your tires may be bad, but your door handles may be good for a long time or whatever. And then there's the system for how the aging rate of the entire car. And so the proverbial grandmother's car that stays in the garage, all of those systems are, and just goes in back and forth to the market occasionally, all of those systems tend to get preserved better than the car of the teenager who's zooming around. And so we're just learning now about some of these systemic knobs that can regulate all of aging. And it's connected to our evolutionary history because all of us are descendants of people who were the super survivors. I mean, around 75,000 years ago, there were only a few thousand Homo sapiens left, and those are all of our ancestors. And these are the people who could survive great deprivation. That's why calorie restriction tends to extend human extended life among all animals and potentially also humans. So now there are a lot of drugs that are kind of mimicking our body's natural response, like metformin, rapamycin, and NMN and NR, nicotinamide.
Okay, once again, the book is called Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering, and the Future of Humanity by Jamie Messel. I highly recommend it because some people think that just like nuclear energy shaped the 20th century with the atomic bomb, some people think that there's an even bigger bomb in the 21st century for good or evil, and that is biotechnology. So once again, the book by Jamie Messel is Hacking Darwin, Genetic Engineering and the Future of Humanity. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call if you want to get on Science Fantastic. Fantastic, 612-564-8135.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.